Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 600 of the Drunk Dashers podcast. I'm your host, as always, I am Tyler, and joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. Oh, God, I cannot believe it, dude. It's like we're recording our 600th episode.
Yeah. If you don't include the ones we've lost along the way, yes, it's the 600th.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, dude. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of crap that's went down ever since the first episode, but at the same time, dude, it's like over like now almost, what, 11 years of recording.
Yeah.
A couple of console cycles have came and went.
Right, yeah.
Literally were still in the Wii, Xbox 360, and PS3, like the twilight years of those systems before, entering into PS4, Xbox One, the whole Wii U, like, the whole Wii U experiment. And then, like, now currently with, you know, PS5, the Switch, the Series X and S systems and stuff, and who knows what's going to go on farther beyond that. But, man, it definitely has been a hell of a ride so far.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, it's like, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Clinging and banging as always. You know, it's crazy when you think about, yeah, like our first episode that came out. Like, we recorded our first episode Memorial Day weekend, 2013. Mm. But our first official like podcast came out was covering E3 2013. And that was the infamous like Xbox, coming off the infamous Xbox presentations, the whole, you know, PlayStation 4 being $400 and here's how to share your game. We were in the early days of the Wii U. we're like now dealing with our, we're in the middle of our third generation of covering, video games and about getting pretty close to, hopefully pretty close to our third Nintendo console. Yeah, pretty crazy when you think about all that. So, yeah, we've been doing this for a while. But if you guys want to, you know, appreciate, you know, we've been doing this for a while. If you want to check out, hear more from us, please, we're on everything. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, any podcast service. We're everywhere. Please like, follow, subscribe. There are links down below in the show notes. So if you can go down there and click on those and subscribe, 5-star reviews, share, tell your friends. We'd appreciate it if you did all that for us because, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. We're two guys. We have full-time jobs. We just do this because we love doing it. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we don't make money off this. We literally pay to do this. So you can come out there, show some support, leave some comments, tell your friends, give us a thumbs up. Mean a lot to us if you can do that for us. So, and especially coming off of February on YouTube was our biggest month yet on there. So that's pretty exciting that we've been slowly growing over the last couple of years, and we've had a big boost the last year. So
yeah,
appreciate, you know, if you guys help us out and keep going out there and supporting us and all that. So yeah, closer you guys do that. Okay, closer we can get, maybe eventually we can get to the point where YouTube can pay us a little bit of money for doing this. So maybe we can make 12 cents a month off this podcast. It'd be great. But yeah, Gables, let's get into it. On top of it being our 600th episode, Gables, it was also another anniversary. We had the Pokemon anniversary. It was Pokemon Day on the 27th. I believe that was a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a 12-minute long Pokemon Presents from them. We're just going to run through it because there's not a lot that we can run through it. And then we can just talk about it at the end here. Started off here, we got a Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. We're getting some Terror Raid events going on for it. So we have Venusaur. Mighty Venusaur, that's going on now. That goes on for a week. Started on Wednesday the 28th. Then the following week, we have Mighty Blastoise. And the week after that, we have Mighty Charizard. I guess they've already done them, but there's like different things you can get from like when you catch them. There's like different items and stuff you get out of it. So yeah, so there is, I guess there is a reason to do it. But yeah, I guess, you know, if you already have them, it doesn't really matter. I guess if you're not you know, caring about catching them all. Next up here, Pokemon Go Cross Pokemon Horizons. That is the Pokemon Horizons, the new Pokemon anime that's coming out. That is coming out on March 7th on Netflix. But they're doing a Pokemon Go event from March 5th to the 11th. It looks like the characters Liko and Roy are going to be in it, but also they have like some of was it Captain Pikachu? You can collect him, and then some of the main Pokemon will be in there as well, along with it. The big news, Gables, obviously, is Pokemon Sleep is getting the legendary dogs. So if that's something you well, actually, no, they're not out yet. It's coming in March. So I guess we're in March now. So it's coming soon. You can, I still don't really fully understand what Pokemon Sleep is, honestly. But apparently you can have those in, I don't know. Next up here, Pokemon Masters EX is having its 4.5 year celebration. What a weird celebration that is.
Yeah,
it is. So starting on March 1st, there's Gita and Gilmora that's out now, followed by Silver and Tyranitar.
Tyranitar, yeah.
Yeah, it's close enough.
So basically, just those characters is like Gita is like the champion of like Scarlet and Violet. Silver is like the antagonist for Pokemon Gold and Silver and stuff.
Okay. That's out now. So, Pokemon Cafe Remix. They're going to get the Gimmigol.
Oh, Gimmigol.
Coins. Gimmigol, yeah. Gimmigol is going to, the coins will be in there for certain challenges, and there's new outfits and stuff like that. Pokemon Unite. Mirrodon is out now. Phalanx is out in April. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to try this one here. Cyrilege is coming soon.
Oh, yeah. Cyrilege. Yeah.
Okay. And then if you put Pokemon Day 24 into the gift code, you get 3-day access to Mirrodon, whatever. Next up here, maybe the biggest news out of this, really, like that's more imminent, is we are getting a Pokemon trading card game Pocket that is coming sometime this year. Basically, from what I understand, you get two free packs a day, and it shows a guy like swiping, and then you can also trade people, and then there is a more condensed version of the card game. Basically, kind of looks like they saw Marvel Snap come out. I think was that late 2022, early 2023, kind of take over the mobile world, and they're like, well, we want a piece of that. So, I think this is what they're doing for going with that that end. But I believe that it's the Masters EGX people are making this, and
okay. From
what I understand about those games, their games is they're very much built around the gacha mechanic. So,
yeah.
And then last but not least here, we got the Pokemon Legends Z-A that is coming in 2025. It is launching worldwide simultaneously. They also at the end did the Mega Evolution logo. We got to see that, so that's coming back. The whole game will be taking place in Luminous City. Gables, what was your thoughts on this Pokemon Presents?
It was a huge nothing burger up until the final announcement. That's how I interpreted it. I went in with low expectations, and quite honestly, I was actually surprised at the last announcement, because with every rumor, with every bit of things that have been going around over the past couple of months leading up to the whole Pokemon Day, Pokemon Direct, you were either led to believe that it would be something related to Gen 5 related with Black and White, or possibly some sort of weird thing with like Generation 2, like say a Let's Go or whatever the hell. But seeing something in regards to a Pokemon Legends game, and not just any game, but potentially teasing what they couldn't do in terms of when X and Y first came out, like about 10 years ago, there was originally supposed to be a Pokemon Z, and that never came out. So a lot of the recycled stuff from that making its way into its own game of Pokemon Legends, like Z through A, I'm very excited about that. If the entirety is going to be in Luminous City, I mean, that would be an interesting choice, because Luminous City is like pretty much like the capital of, say, X and Y, that main hub area and stuff, where you do a lot of your shopping, do a lot of the various stuff. There's actual things where things that you could like do, like grooming a Pokemon, all this and that. I'm just remembering what I remember from X and Y.
Yeah, but it's kind of like how the school in Scarlet and Violet was like it's like the main hub of the game. Yeah.
Yes. And all in all, like I said, if there wasn't like say an announcement at the end, I would have just completely just say that was just a waste of time. But with that, I thought it would probably be like about a 5 out of 10 for me for like a direct, you know. It was the middle of the road. I mean, it was the basic stuff that we were expecting. Some of the stuff did leak already because of like data mining, especially with Pokemon Unite with Maridon and Phalanx and like stuff like that. Now, my main thing is with this Pokemon Legends Z through A, there's a couple things I thought about in terms of this announcement itself. One, there's a character inside of X and Y. The character's name is AZ. AZ is supposed to represent like a character from way back in the ancient times of the Kalos region, to where he was instrumental in help making this machine to drain pretty much the life force of Pokemon in order to try to revive, no, to bring back to life his Pokemon, Floette. But the whole story is Floette, seeing the destruction that he has caused, like AZ has caused, in order to try to bring it back to life, that Pokemon ends up leaving AZ and stuff because it was so disgusted that it had to kill different Pokemon by absorbing their life force in order to just, you
So
know,
it's a
end
crazy
it.
storyline in that game.
Oh, it's a crazy storyline, but it also represents one definitely real possibility they could be going with is, which leads in, you know, to my next thing about it, from seeing the logo and from what is presented, Z through A, right? A Z. Possibly going back and forth between modern and modern, you know, modern and ancient, like Kalos. That's what I thought of initially when I saw the initial logo going through. Because with Pokemon Legends Arceus, you were started off with a character in modern times that got sucked back into like ancient the Unova region, right?
We just left him there, Gables.
I know.
He's still there.
I know, right? It's so weird how that just happened. But even alongside that game, there were characters that were sucked back into that time from like modern Pokemon games as well. Like the train conductor from Generation 5, one of the train conductors from Generation 5 and stuff that happened to be there off the cuff, totally out of the norm. Like he's dressed in modern clothing and stuff. That was never explained. And that's just one of the things that's so weird about just Pokemon Legends Arceus, though. But this type of game actually presents more excitement to me because it's something that's going to be unpredictable in the way they could go for this different type of gameplay or the story of it. It's really more fascinating to me than just another remake or just another remaster of a particular game. But this game definitely is going to be the tie between Generation 10 in 2026, possibly.
I'm kind of what, yeah, it was like, it was nothing burger, and like, I barely felt anything from this. Like, I love Pokemon Legends Arceus, I think is the coolest thing they've done with Pokemon in a long time. Like,
Absolutely.
So like, I came back in with X and Y, from doing this podcast, like listening to you and Jake when he was, one of our former hosts. You guys always talk about Pokemon, and finally, that's why I got back to Nintendo in the first place, was because bought that, played X and Y. I loved X and Y. It's funny because, like, when I hear like Pokemon fans, a lot of them dislike X and Y, but it's like like the ones that just kept playing, and then it's like a lot of people, like, there's a lot of people like me, like, that jump back in because like X and Y was kind of like a reboot almost of the franchise in a way where like.
Right.
It really tied. It really, I think you probably understood that. Hey, there's a lot of lapsed fans we can possibly get back, and like this is the whole thing. We're like, hey, you get two sets of starters, and like I was able to get Charizard early on. The game was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was.
But since then, like I went back. I played all of the mainline Pokemon games, and some of them I didn't like, and a lot of them I did like. But I don't. Like I was somewhat looking forward to like the black and white ones because that's the one I've always heard. It's so split. Like everybody's got an opinion on it, and it's so like back and forth of like some people like it's one of their favorites. Some people just flat out don't like it at all. I don't really ever hear anybody in the middle on that one. So I was kind of looking forward to it because I'm like, and I know a lot of people said, oh, they went some crazy places with it, and also like it's the only one to actually get a sequel. I was really looking forward to that. Maybe it's still gonna happen. I don't know, but. The fact we're just kind of jumping it to six, is weird. I know we technically kind of got two Gen 4 games with the shitty remakes that we got, and then also Arceus took place in the Gen 4 world. So people are wondering now if that Scarlet and Violet DLC was what they're gonna do for Gen 5 because that took place in the Gen 5 area, I guess.
Yeah, inside the Unova region, yes.
Yeah,
The Blueberry Academy, yeah, that was placed in Unova.
Yeah, so some people are like, maybe this was what they're doing for Gen 5, and they're kind of skipping it, which that's pretty crazy. They're just going to skip a whole generation. But I don't like I said, I love Legends Arceus. Taking place in a whole city, though, I don't. I mean, I'm just kind of like, I wonder if, like, is that meaning exactly what we think it means? Like, cause that's weird. So people are like, hey, are we rebuilding this city? Because, like, this is based off Paris. And someone was mentioning, like, back in, like, the 1800s, they basically, like, future, like, people that were running the city were like, we need a future-proof Paris. And, like, the way they designed it and the way they built everything, they wanted to build it, like, for, like, the long term.
Yeah.
So, like, it was very, they kind of tried to, like, think future-proof it instead of just, like, building it, like, a bunch of, you know, houses made of, like, wood and shit. So people are like, oh, maybe it's going to be, like, kind of like in that time frame of Pokemon. Like, so people are like, oh, what if it's in the future? So I don't know. Like, it's hard to, like, at this point, it's just like, we're like a lot of guessing and, like, you know, we're like kind of looking at this trailer that ultimately didn't really show a lot, honestly. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious, like, we're like, oh, these Pokemon are guaranteed in the game because they're in this trailer. I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's Pokemon. I can easily see some Pokemon just not being in the game.
You know. But a thought just occurred to me, you know, did we get, like, a legitimate, like, say, Pokemon game that's going to be releasing, say, this year?
No. And that's the big thing, I think. Maybe the biggest thing is this is the first time we've gone without a major, like, any sort of, like, Pokemon game in a year.
Well, that's what we're thinking right now, but yet we still got, like, plenty of time before they could try to announce something, you know? I mean, I'm not dismissing it because Nintendo is very adamant about releasing a Pokemon game every year based upon their scheduling stuff.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's the thing we talk about forever, though, about games take longer than ever.
Yeah.
And after Scarlet and Violet, they're maybe like, I don't know, let's just take the extra time instead of...
Yeah.
So, I mean, even Game Freak is, I mean, and also Game Freak is making that Project Bloom game.
That's true.
That's like a big actual, like, AAA game that's gonna be coming. Like, they've got a big funding behind that, and this is a team of like 150 people. So, I mean, is it possible? Like, was Ica was that the name of the team that made possibly we get that remake this year? I feel like they would have announced it here. I guess we'll probably. They usually do like a Pokemon Presents, into May. But that's usually when they have a Pokemon game coming out at the end of the year. And I guess we'll know in a couple months if they're going to have something or not this year. But I feel like they probably would announce it, or like maybe you would have announced the one coming this year and then save that ZA for later. I don't know. It was just I think it's one of those things where they're kind of in a tough situation because they always have to do something. They're expected now to do something every year. It's kind of like in 7 Day for Mass Effect. Like last year we got like a bunch of teasers for a game that's like 7 years away. Like Last of Us has Last of Us Day, and it's like some years we get a trailer for the TV show. Some years, hey, it's some new merchandise you can buy on the store. So I wonder if it's just that case, but like it's different because they actually do like their own version of a direct. And last year, it sucks because like last year's was pretty bad. I remember getting off work and I'm like, is it even worth doing a live reaction to? And you're just like, don't even waste your time. And I was like, okay. And I watched it. I'm like, yeah, this was garbage. And I was like, I don't know. Like I did a live react to this and I just kept looking at I kept pulling up the YouTube, like the clock to see how much time was left. I'm like, all right, we still got 6 minutes left. We're good. Like, there's still gonna be like, and then I'm like, okay, we got 4 minutes left. We can do a couple trailers here. And then it's like, I looked and I'm like, there's 2 minutes left. like this better be good. Like, look, I'm potentially ecstatic for this, but it's like, I'm just like taking place in a city. How is that going to work? I mean, even if it's like 300 years ago in a city, maybe still, that's still weird. I don't know. I really don't. Like, I felt like the whole thing, like, if you don't have anything this year, why not fucking put out the fucking old games? You know, like, they kept playing the fucking music from the Game Boy games during
yes, they did.
After every single announcement, they would play the music. I'm like, okay, we're setting it up. And then nothing. It's like, it's been 7 years. The NSO has been out for 7 years.
It has been.
And we don't have a Pokemon game. And even, like, why? I know nobody loves selling old shit to us again more than Pokemon Company and Nintendo.
Yeah.
I know it. And they're probably like, hey, how can we find a way to charge these people for it? But I'm like, I just can't believe it. Like, why don't we have gold and silver? Why don't we, like, we should have the fucking Game Boy, the remakes out now, but we don't have those either. It's like, what are we doing?
Exactly.
Like, why don't we have the Gen 1 remakes?
We should have at least the original versions of the first three generation of Pokemon accessible on the Switch online, but yet we don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, when you think about it, I think there's even more credence that, say, this Pokemon Legends, like Z-A, was supposed to release this year, and the combination of how well-received Scarlet and Violet was, possibly, maybe on top of the success of how Power World and the reaction that's been getting, maybe it's sort of forced Nintendo's hand to kind of, like, delay that thing a bit further and stuff, especially with their new system that they're reportedly going to be showing off this year.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the Switch 2 delay that caused it, but
I'm just saying a number of things probably.
I think the reason we didn't see gameplay, one is because, you know, they don't, like, probably Nintendo's like, we're gonna show gameplay first. We don't want you to look at this, and you know, like, but I mean, I don't know, like, they, I know they said the family of Switch consoles, which is what Nintendo always says for their, like, because they call it Switch Lite and OLED and that too.
Right.
So people are like, it's a lot of, like, could it be, is it cross gen? Is the next console going to be the Switch? Like, I don't know. We're just kind of left, like, kind of hanging right now, I feel like, until we get the Switch reveal, whether that's in June or later in the year. I don't know, but I hope we see that sometime. Like, when they do the big reveal, I hope we see it. Like, when we see, like, show me everything. I want to see all the big games you got coming soon. And I'd love to see it, because, like, I want to be super pumped for this game. You know, just coming off Scarlet and Violet, obviously, definitely kind of hurt my excitement for this. And, like, I love Legends Arceus. It had a lot of problems, though. It'd be great if they fixed that, but, like, I still love that game. So I'd love it if it's just like, hey, it's just more of that, but also in a different area. Like, totally down for that. I don't know, the whole, like, being in a city aspect is the part, like, for me, that's the part I'm having the hardest time wrapping my head around. Like,
yeah,
how is that gonna work? I'm like, I don't want to be walking around a fucking city with a bunch of people wandering around and I'm trying to catch Pokemon. Like, I don't know. If anybody can make it work, it's obviously Game Freak. So
yeah.
I don't know. Like, that'd be really great if, like, they can, Switch 2 comes out and, like, hey, launch, we got the new 3D Mario game, and then in the holiday we have the new Pokemon game. Like, that's a pretty great year for a brand new console.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll have to wait and see. Is it, outside of that, Gables, anything, like, are you, like, interested at all in that Pokemon Pocket game at all, or?
No, not really. If it was, like, a full-on, say, Pokemon trading card game in terms of something similar to, say, what we got for Game Boy, I mean,
yeah,
that'd be a bit different, but this is, like, a mobile gacha game. I mean, my interest is, like, not really that high on it.
Yeah. I'd love to have, like, a, like, just, I'll pay, like, $40-$50 for a just modern day Pokemon game, that's a trading card game that just, you can just buy and just play online with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd love that. Like, I just don't want to deal with the free-to-play bullshit of it, you know? It's like,
that's one of Nintendo's most missed opportunities, is putting the Pokemon trading card game on the Nintendo Switch itself. They have it on mobile, they've had it on iPod stuff for years now. This whole, like, freaking gacha game, trading card game stuff is good for them, obviously, because it makes the microtransactions for the gacha game stuff. But yet, having something almost akin to, say, Yu-Gi-Oh! sort of has, in terms of, like, their Master Duelist stuff, the friggin', like, Oh my gosh, the Legacy of the Duelist stuff. You know, there's different types of trading card games on consoles, and yet Nintendo could not have anything in regards to that trading card game besides the classic one that they have on NSO. You know, it's just a missed opportunity for them.
Yeah, I like I said, I would pay full price for that game. I know that's not, maybe not everybody would, I know a lot of people wouldn't do that, and I get that. You know, like just like the Yu-Gi-Oh game. Like if you gave me like a really good Yu-Gi-Oh game, like that Legacy of the Duelist was awesome.
Yep.
And if I got another one of those, like that, I think it was like $30. I would gladly pay another 30, 40 bucks for
No
like a
shit.
new another one of those that was, you know, with a good story to it, but also I could play along with my buddies. Like that's the dream right there. That's all I want. And then a proper Gen 2 remake. That's give me those, and I'll be the happiest boy in the world. Let's move on though, Gables, to some other news here. Some more shitty news here. It's just continuing on. I really don't even. It's just it's one of those things where it's like I don't want to like. You don't want to get used to it, but it's like, I'm running. I don't know what to like even feel or think or say anymore about some of these here. So PlayStation announced they laid off 900 employees, 8% of their staff. They shut down London Studios. That was one that like made a lot of like their VR games. I mean, like iToy and SingStar and stuff like that as
Wow.
well. They were making a multiplayer open world game set in Fantasy London. They also had layoffs at Insomniac, who just put out the fastest selling PlayStation game of all time 3 months ago with Spider-Man 2. They're also probably the backbone of fucking PlayStation at this point. You know, they just in the last like what 5 years they put out. Since 2016, they put out two Ratchet and Clank games, three Spider-Man games, and I feel like I missed something there. But five games in basically a 5 year stretch, they put out, and then and including, you know, three of the three best selling of all time. Guerrilla had layoffs. They put out three games in the they put out two Horizon games. They put out that VR game. They put out two expansions for those Horizon games, all since 2017. Those games have combined to sell nearly 35 million copies. Layoffs there. Naughty Dog had layoffs, probably their biggest, most important as far as like biggest brand Naughty Dog is. And with the last, they're probably bigger than ever now, even though they haven't put a game out since in 4 years because of like the TV show and everything like that. FireSprite, who they just bought a couple years ago, they had layoffs. They were working on that Twisted Metal live service game that got canceled. And then, I mean, we're just gonna run through some of these here. EA had layoffs as well. 700 people were laid off, about 8% of their staff. They had 800 laid off last year. So 1,500 people laid off in the last like 6 months. There was a Mandalorian Star Wars first-person shooter game made by Respawn that was canceled, and apparently that game was looking great and it was a couple of years away, and people were pretty excited about it. And this was like a lot of the Titanfall people were working on this, which was I was so this leads like people were talking about this last year, and I was hearing a lot about like people were like they were kind of like putting like Titanfall mechanics into this, and I was like, fuck yeah, like I love Titanfall 2, and I'm like, yeah, if we can get like, you know, after Titanfall 3 was canceled, Titanfall Legends was canceled. If this is like what we gotta do to get a Titanfall-like game in, I'm totally in. And Star Wars, fuck yeah, that's been canceled. One person worked at Blizzard and was laid off in January when the Xbox had the layoffs. Went to go work for Respawn and was just laid off. And he's been laid off twice in the last 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, so Ridgeline Games, which is a studio that EA just opened in 2022, that was made to make single-player Battlefield games. That studio got closed. They're still making these, but they're being like merged into DICE, who makes the Battlefield games. Deck
Right.
Nine, who makes the true Life is Strange games, laid off 20% of their staff. And Supermassive Games, another one of my favorite studios. They were bought by, I think, NetEase last year. They had layoffs last year, and then they had to lay off a third of their staff this week as well. So we are now. I think last year we had nearly 14,000 people laid off. We are already over 10,000 people laid off in the first 2 months of 2024. So 24,000 people laid off in the industry in a 12-month period. So pretty awful. I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, Tyler, I don't know what more we can say. I mean, the gaming industry is getting even more extremely cutthroat now. I mean, if you're not like a major hit with a lot of those like multi-million dollar games that you've helped create or something, if you're a company and you've been working on this project for about 5 to 7 years and it does not pan out commercially and stuff, I mean, obviously cuts in the industry are like a normal thing, but yet with the rapid succession of how many people are being laid off like this, I mean, I feel so bad for the people obviously involved. I mean, both you and I have talked about this before in terms of like even the layoffs that have been occurring in the past like 6 months to a year or something like that for a lot of these game makers and stuff. But yet it feels like unless you're doing like a big AAA game or something, it's like either it's do that or bust. That's what it feels like right now in sort of the AAA industry.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is, like, I always talk about here, like, Insomniac, they put out the biggest, most successful game in PlayStation history 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And they just had to lay off a bunch of people.
It's like, what does that say for the gaming industry right now? It's like, is it really consolidating or something? Or is it, like, just getting smaller now? They're having to trim the fat?
Well, I don't. So, like, a lot of this, obviously, is the overhiring, you know, like, for, like, because there was that stretch there from like 2018 to like 2022. I would always complain about like, I was talking about like these games, like it felt like as soon as it was greenlit in a boardroom, they were like, hey, this game's coming out. It's like, we don't know who's making it yet. We haven't even talked to anybody yet, but it's coming out. And it's like,
boy.
That was weird. Like they were announcing this because they were trying to hire talent. And I was listening to a podcast this week and they were talking about, they were at GDC in 2022. And they were talking to like some directors and like lead execs at studios, like major studios. And they're like, we can't find anybody to hire. Like, you know, like there was all these like Activision and Ubisoft and all these places where like they were severely understaffed. And it's coming like a year later, it's like, they're like all these studios are laying people off. Which what blows my mind here is EA like decided, like talked about this like 12, 18 months ago, said that like, they're kind of like, they're tripling down on like IPs, big IPs. Like they signed that 3-game deal with Marvel to make the Black Panther and Iron Man game. It's the third game that they'll do later. They have like this, they're making multiple Star Wars games. There's like, apparently that someone's making a Star Wars RTS game. I don't know if that's going on with that one somewhere.
I don't know.
But like they were all in on IPs because like I get it. Like, hey, instead of spending $200 million to like hopefully make a brand new IP, it'd be like we can give Disney a little bit of money or give somebody else a little bit of money for their IP that like already will like we'll sell a good chunk of copies just because the IP's on the name,
right?
And like we'll just, you know, we'll pay for the license, but we're guaranteed at least something for that instead of like spinning up our own thing, especially with EA where they fucking destroyed all their IPs in the early 2000s. They fucked themselves. And we've talked about, they've changed a lot. I feel like they were going some good places. Like they brought back Dead Space. The Star Wars games were like the Jedi games were fantastic. Obviously It Takes Two and all that. They had a game of the year just a couple of years ago.
That's so hard to believe, but yeah, it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they have a game of the year for Xbox, had a game of the year. It's fucking wild. Like this, they are known as the IP. Like they make Madden. They made FIFA forever. They make the like NHL. They don't do NBA anymore, but like they are they turn these IP. I almost said IPAs. I got beer on the mind. They turn these IPs, and they make them into money making machines. And it's like, so a year and a half ago, you just started this. You made a studio. You built a brand new studio to make an Iron Man game, not Black Panther game. Dead Space people are making Iron Man. To make a Dead Space game. And then you're just changing course a year later. There's no proof of concept yet. These games are still in early development. Mm-hmm. You have no idea if this is going to work or not. And you just like, nah, we're changing it. It's not going to work. Like just because you put out, you changed FIFA to FC and you saved $100 million on the IP. It's like, this is apple and oranges. It's not like you could just pull the Star Wars out of the next Star Wars game And it's like, ah, it's a lot like Star Wars, but it doesn't have the names. Like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. I don't know. Like, and what sucks is, like, all these studios are worried about, like, how much these games are going to cost, and, like, they need to put games out to make money, but they're firing the people that are going to be the ones that put the games out. So, like, I've said this before, is we're not going to feel the effects right now. You look at, like, where we're at, like, the last year and a half has just been this nonstop great games coming out. Like, you can't keep up with all the great games coming out. And a lot of that is because all the hiring they did a couple of years ago.
Yes, they did.
So we're going to, what's happening right now, we're going to feel that. So at the end of this generation, and when we go into the PS6 and the next Xbox and all that, it's like, and there's just very few games coming out. Mm-hmm. We all got to remember this time right now, because this is why those games aren't happening. Unless something major is changing in gaming, and I get it, like, these games are more expensive than ever. Spider-Man 2 was like $250 million. Like, you look at, like, games like Marvel's Avium and Callisto Protocol came out. They did not sell nearly enough to make their money back. Layoffs happen. I get that. Like, okay, the company, we're in a rough spot. Deck Nine, the executives all took pay cuts to make sure not as many people got laid off. Maybe we should start there. Maybe if your company isn't doing well enough, maybe the people up top that are making millions of dollars should maybe they take the pay cuts, and then, you know, if you got to make cuts after that, you make cuts. At least you tried, I guess.
Yeah.
But the problem is right now is these, like, PlayStation, like, this is all happening because of, we talked about a couple weeks ago with their, they did their quarterly report. They talked about, like, oh, we're in the second half of the PS5. It's not going to do as well next year. You know, the sales have kind of peaked a year per for sales per year. And the stock price dropped $10 billion because of that. And this is all because of that. It's all because in 3 months when they come back and do the next quarterly report, they got to sit there and tell them, hey, look, we laid a bunch of people off. We're cutting costs. It's all to make things look good in 3 months. But the problem is, what are you going to look like in 3 years? And if you do all these cuts are happening, is like, okay, but we're making a major change in where gaming is going. All right, we get it. Like, these games cannot, like, I love these big, huge games. I love these games. They're some of my favorite games, but I get it. You cannot keep doing it. Cannot keep growing. Cannot keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, we can't keep having these games come out and be 80 fucking hours. Like, I love Last of Us Part 2. It's a 30-hour game. I love that game. Maybe they could have made it a little shorter. Maybe they could have, like, took some of that shit and put it in Last of Us Part 3. I don't know. Maybe Assassin's Creed Odyssey doesn't need to be 80 hours. But you get what the point now where people, like, Spider-Man 2 came out and people were saying you could platinum in 30 hours. And people were pissed that it was too short.
Yeah, that's really crazy to think about. But it brings into highlight one thing that I can think of is there's not a balance between the different types of games available on the market currently right now in terms of that. We just have a lot of the major AAA games, like, in the forefront, like, you know, a lot of the big major money AAA games, like, being advertised for some in the forefront. But a lot of these big companies and stuff are not making, like, the subsidiary games, the subsidiary smaller games that are going to be that type of lasting appeal. That's something completely different than what we had, say, like, maybe, like, say, as far back as, like, 15, 20 years ago, to where there were tiers of games for that purpose. 10 years ago. Because here's the thing. Now that we are in a generation to where we just have the higher echelon games only, it's either incredibly high or incredibly low. There's no middle tier games. There's no games that are going to be making the type of money in order to fund these AAA games, meaning the companies have to go with something that's increasingly safe, like a favorite IP or license, like currently what's going on here, or risk of putting out games that they have maybe little to know the direction. Maybe they don't know what they're going to be doing with this franchise or something, but they're going to just try to throw things at the wall, see what sticks. Some new IPs, like, say, with EA, with, like, Atrium, you know? That game comes out and stuff. It sells all right and stuff, but it's not enough in order to satisfy the costs of what was put into it, which is really mind-numbing to me, because it's like, that could have been a good base for, like, a franchise, if not for the fact that it was modeled to be a AAA game instead of what it should have been, which was a lower budget, middle-tier game that could have been a higher-end franchise of a triple-tier, but instead the money was more focused upon overspending it first. Yeah. It's like the structure of it is completely missing quite a few steps along the way. And because of business practices like that, now we're in that sort of, like an anti sort of S sort of thing currently than say, okay, just try to bear with me right now. We're in a structure that's almost completely reversed than what, you know, the gaming crash of 83 was about. To where way back when, companies, third-party companies, were putting so many different types of games on the Atari 2600, other consoles of that time, that there was so much shit games being put out at once that it completely drove people's interest away from that, and that's what the gaming crash of 83 was about. That was then, but we're having a completely almost opposite effect going on right now, to where we have so many video games and so much time that we're going through with this, that unless, like I was saying previously, if you have like a favorite IP and it's something that's something that the AAA gaming industry wants you to go with, you have to spend as much time as possible on one game before going on to the next. It has to be like a live service game. It has to be over like 50 hours of do this other stuff. And then what happens when that game does not pan out, or that live service doesn't pan out, or something like this? What we're seeing is everything coming to head all at once. Live service games, they're starting to become going down on the decline, is because people are getting sick and tired of doing, like,
people don't want another job.
Yeah, people don't want another job on top of doing the job they got currently right now.
Yeah, and they already got a side game that they're already playing as well. They can't play four.
What remains as a tragic consequence of this is the fact that all of these people that are in the gaming industry currently that were increased hires for the past 3 or 4 years, like you were saying, now they're looked at as casualties in terms of cutting costs in order to do business endeavors, you know? And that is mostly on the fault of the companies themselves, EA, Sony, like Microsoft and stuff. I mean, we don't hear too much about Nintendo's cutting of costs and stuff like that for employees.
It's very rare in Japan, like,
because their structure is completely different than United States.
Yeah.
But
they actually care about their employees, unlike here in the U.S.
And to tie everything else here in like a big old bow right here, if we keep on going on this path, currently in the gaming industry, with the AAA gaming industry, with what we're going with here, less people are going to be working for these companies. It's going to have a lasting impact with less talent, less creativity, less great games come out, and then we're going back literally 15 to 20 years ago to where we may have a couple games come out every few months that may potentially be good or maybe average at best, and then we're constantly waiting upon maybe the one or two big games that were announced and stuff. It would be almost a reverse trend. That's one of the major fears that many gamers have right now with this sort of like, oh my, consolidation things of like the AAA gaming space. It's too big. People think it's too big to fail, which, guess what? Gaming and what they're doing right now, it's not too big to fail. It happened once before. It was in the close to the freaking mid-80s, because none of us fucking remember this, because not a lot of us were born during that time period to experience it. Unless, like, you're Gen X or older or something like that. Boomers. Which, but, yeah, man. I mean, at the end of the day, it just sucks that a lot of people are losing their jobs. And the big culprit is greedy corporations, greedy just
short-term thinking.
There's no long-term thinking going on right now.
Yeah, they like I said, they want to make the next quarterly report because they don't want shareholders to get mad at them.
Yeah.
And the problem is when you tie bonuses to the stock and the stock drops, you know, well, fuck, I can't worry about 3 years from now. I got to get my, you know, I make $20 million a year, but I got to get my $3 million bonus in 3 months. So I got to lay a bunch, of people off. So EA, 3 months ago, bought back $350 million in stock from people 3 months ago. they laid off 1,500 people. You know how much money is gonna, people kind of they kind of guesstimated how much it's going to cost them for unemployment, for benefits, for severance, all the whole process, man hours of like taking people out of the system, report, letting people know they've been laid off. It's going to cost them about $300 million to lay all these people off.
So they spend $350 billion buying back their stock, and now they're going to have to spend another $300 million in order to do the severance costs and stuff. So yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
You
could have
taken that money and probably paid those people for like the next 4 or 5 years.
Yes, absolutely. So, instead of buying back all the stocks.
Yeah, so it's a short term. So you spent $300 million to get rid of these people, but then you're going to, you could have paid them $300 million for the next 4 or 5 years. So what am I, like, what are we saving here, really? Yeah, it just, like I said, if there was like a plan here, but it's like, it sounds like PlayStation's doubling down on like, hey, we just got to make more big games. And look, like I said, I love those games. The problem is like, I don't think a crash is coming because spending is up. Like we kept talking, I kept saying, I thought like after COVID, like, hey, this shit's going to go back down. There's going to be like, it's not going to like, I think it's going to be higher than pre-COVID, but it's not going to keep going up. It's still going up.
Right.
So spending is still up. It's still going. It's the number's
up.
I
will say, I'm not saying completely there's going to be a gaming crash. I'm just saying that there are certain sales going on right now where the spending is up, but it's just going to be just less good games per year than what we're going currently, which is still better than, say, none.
Yeah, for sure. There's just no plan right now. It's just, like I said, everything is like, well, fuck, the stock went down. We got to turn it around. So let's lay a bunch of people off. Fuck those people. Turn it, like, I don't know. I just don't know what to say anymore. It's like, you know, and like I said, like, I don't want to say like you're getting numb to it, because that's, that feels bad, but it's just like, I see it. I'm just like, I just shake my head at this point. I'm just like, how does this keep happening? Like, I know it's happening in a lot of industries around the world. It's happening in my industry that I work for. It just sucks. I feel awful for those people. I've never been laid off from these before, but I've worked for multiple companies where layoffs have happened, like massive layoffs, and it sucks. It's just like, I'm never going to see that. Like, you know, it's like this person I talk to every day for years, I'm just never going to see him again. And like you, the people, like, you feel bad for, like, you're happy because you got to keep your job, but you also feel bad for keeping your job. And you're just like, so it's, you know, survivor guilt is a real thing. And I just, it sucks. So I hope all those people can figure something out. But it's like I said, there's a dude that got laid off 6 weeks ago from Blizzard and then went to go work for Respawn and got laid off again. So it's like, I keep seeing people like, it's off. Like, I don't know, it's the internet, but it's like, man, I can't. People like gamers out there that just actively hate the people that make their games. It's fucking wild to me. And like celebrating this or like dunking on them and like, well, you should have went somewhere else if you thought layoffs were happening. But it's like, fucking, there's laying off everywhere. Like, there's nowhere safe. So you're better off just getting your severance package and keeping your 401k and getting laid off. So I don't know. It just sucks. But we need to move on.
Yeah.
Got the January Circana report here, Gables.
All right.
This is the sales report every month. It feels kind of weird doing this right after we talk about layoffs. Overall, the industry, Gables, is up 15% year over year.
Joy.
Yeah. Let me just, it's taking forever to load here, but we got the top 20 here. So this is all U.S. This is based off dollar sales, not unit sales. Just keep that in mind, people.
Yeah.
A few things on top of that here. So during the WB, Warner Brothers Discovery, quarterly report, they mentioned that Suicide Squad sales are disappointing. Sega also mentioned that the, Sonic, what was that Sonic game that came out last year?
I know it's on the tip of my tongue. I don't even, that's the thing, man. I don't even remember the name of the damn thing.
I'm looking it up here. Sonic Superstars.
Yeah.
So they said that was disappointing. They said maybe they should have put it out the same week that fucking Mario came out, which, yeah, no shit. We all said that.
Oh, brother.
That was pretty funny. I'm going to go back here. All right. Also, Gables, here's some fun stuff for you.
Mine.
Pal World, was the most played game on Steam and the third most played game on Xbox in January. It has officially sold 15 million units and is at 25 million players across Xbox and PlayStation.
You want to know what's really funny about that statistic, though, for 15 million? That's actually outsold some of the various, like, mainline Pokemon games, too.
Yeah. Yeah, right? It'd be one that I think is like would be a top five selling Pokemon game. Some other stuff here. PS5 is tracking 7% ahead of the PS4 after 39 months on the market, 68% ahead of PS3. That's pretty funny there. To show you how
and
bad that
yet
PS3 was.
They went ahead and said it's in the second half of the console's life cycle.
Right. And then the PS3 completely turned around in the second half of its life cycle.
Yeah.
And then Suicide Squad on Steam has had more people playing Gotham Knights than Suicide Squad. So yeah, I should tell you where that game is.
Sorry, but that's just really funny.
Yeah. I had this in other news this week, but I'm just going to talk about it here, Gables.
Yeah.
So Skull and Bones came out in February. So this is not going to be part of the current report.
Okay.
But I didn't know this, but there's a free like 6 or 8 hour trial that you can play. For anybody can play on any of the platforms.
Yeah.
Combined amongst all that between purchases and people playing the free trial, less than 1 million people have played the game.
Ooh, and that was for a free 6 to 8 hour trial.
Yeah. That's combined people buying it and those. So,
ooh, that's bad, dude.
Feeling that game's not going to be doing super hot next month when we talk about February's Arcana report. But let's get into it here, Gables. Number 20, God of War Ragnarok. Number 19, Jujutsu Kaisen Curse Clash. It's a Bandai Namco game. Never heard of that.
Anime Fighter.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it makes sense. Fucking weebs. Number 18, Mario Kart 8. Number 17. Oh, Mario Kart 8. Doing pretty good there. That's pretty cool. Oh. Number 17, Minecraft. Number 16, Gran Turismo 7 had to jump back in. Must have been a sale or something here. Number 15, Mortal Kombat 1. Number 14, Elden Ring. Number 13, a brand new game, Gables. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. That's pretty
good.
Awesome.
Well deserved.
It came out the very end of the month, too. So that's pretty cool.
They see, that's a good AAA. That's a good, like,
mid-tier
sort of game right there that more companies need to fucking put out.
Yeah.
Maybe not the style of Prince of Persia, but I'm just saying those type of games in general.
Yeah. And I imagine it probably only took a few years to make. So,
yep.
Fucking, I don't know. Yeah, maybe do more of that. Maybe do some cool shit with your IPs. Numbers 12, Avatar, Frontiers of the Pandora. That's pretty good. Still sticking around 3 months later. Number 11, big drop here, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Number 10, Marvel Spider-Man 2. That's good for those people that the few that are still working there. Number 9, jumping all the way from 167th the previous month, Last of Us Part 2. That's because they had the remaster come out. Oh,
that makes sense.
So that big spike there. Number 8, EA Sports FC 24. It's so crazy. All these companies had to lay people off, but yet all these games are, Sony's got 1, 2, 3, 4 games in the top 20 selling games from the last month. Pretty wild there. EA's also got 4 in here as well. Number 6, Hogwarts Legacy. Number 5, Madden NFL 24. Number 4, Gables, game that you might like here, Persona 3.
Well, Reload. Persona 3 Reload sold fairly well.
Number 3, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. Number 2, Tekken 8. And number 1, no surprise, Modern Warfare 3. But hey, I mean, we got fucking Tekken 8, number 2, Suicide Squad, number 3, Persona 3, Reload, number 4, Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth at number 7, and then Prince of Persia Lost Crown at number 13. So we have, and then that Jujutsu Kaisen fucking games. So we have six brand new games in the top 20. So pretty great. I mean, this is pretty crazy year, Cables, and this is just January.
Dude, I'll tell you this, man. I mean, Tekken 8 performing as well as it did, I mean, that's fantastic. That's across all the different, all the consoles, plus like, Steam as well. I don't even think is it sort of with Steam? Wait a minute.
I believe it's on Steam, yes.
Okay, I'm just...
Yeah, it
I
does
was just
include
thinking
digital
upon,
sales.
Like, the digital sales and stuff in general.
Yeah, but it's already sold over 3 million copies, so that's pretty cool.
Not surprised, man. That is a fantastic game. Persona 3 Reload, I'm not surprised it performing so well, but man, inside that top 5.
Yeah, and this is a game that's on Game Pass day 1 as well.
Yes, so, meaning to me that despite the Game Pass sales, people are buying it full price, $70, dude. Yeah. That is awesome. But I will say, for a Jujutsu Kaisen and stuff like that, I'm very surprised that game cracked the top 20 because of how terrible that game got reviewed. It's like a 53 or something like that on OpenCritic. It's supposed to be like a fairly terrible game.
Yeah. What, we talk about, we do like that, the game awards. We look at the nominees for fighting games, and you look at some of those games you never heard of, and I got like a 62 on Metacritic, but it's just because there wasn't enough fighting games that came out. So I won't, we got to remember this conversation, Gables, when we do game award nominees next, at the end of the year, and that game is one of them.
Oh my
So.
God, if that game is one of them, oh, they're just scraping the bottom of the barrel at that point.
What's that? What was that Warner Brothers fighting game that like came out and then they like, oh, it was actually early access this whole time. We're taking it away.
Oh my God,
The
dude,
fuck was that?
that was the one with the WB like characters, for like Shaggy and
WB.
Batman and all of those stuff.
Multiverses.
The Multiverses is supposed to be relaunching sometime soon.
There's been like some people were like saw some report that there might be some like co-advertisement or something with like a fast food place, so maybe it's coming back. So I don't know, but I wonder if that game won best fighting game 2 years ago. It'd be funny if it won again. I wonder if it could do that because it came back out. I honestly, I just kind of laugh at that point.
I would too.
Yeah, but I mean, pretty solid. I mean, it's just been, it's crazy. We have all these layoffs, and it's like, man, what a great year! Like, it's March. Oh, it's March 3rd here, Gables. Happy Switch anniversary!
Oh yeah, the
Switch
Switch came
anniversary
out
here.
today.
Yeah, 7 years ago. We're now,
Seven
we're
years ago,
officially,
dude.
we're
That's
officially in year
hilarious.
eight of the Switch. So it's pretty crazy.
And we're still playing it.
We're still, yeah.
Oh, that's
My
hilarious.
mine sounds like an engine now because it's the launch one, but it still works. So knock on wood. I can't knock too loud because my dog will go crazy. But yeah. But let's move on here, Gables, to some other news this week. A couple smaller things here. Except all these layoffs. Saber Interactive unembraced themselves from Embracer Group. Paid $500 million to do so. So good for them for doing that. It sounds like they're also like they also owned like some other studios like 4A Games that makes like the Metro games. So then they got a couple other studios along with them. So it sounds like they're going to be out of there. Sounds like Gearbox might be getting sold sometime this month. I don't know if they're breaking off like making themselves free of Embracer Group or they're selling they're being sold off. It's funny. So Saber Interactive bought their Freedom for $500 million. 2 years ago, Embracer bought them for $525 million. So not a
Oh,
great
wow.
return on investment there. Gearbox, I think they bought for like one. It was like one of their biggest ones. I think it was like $1.5 billion or so. So I'm curious what they're gonna get for
Ooh.
that one.
I would probably think like maybe not even 500 million.
I am. Who knows? I mean. Maybe like 2K will buy them because obviously they have the IP, they own the IP for Borderlands, so maybe like hey we can get them for cheap on that for that. But and then last but not least here, Toys for Bob is going indie. This
That's the
studio that
most
made the
exciting news out of all this week.
yeah. What's weird though is like they got their, they're going indie, but yet they're probably it sounds like they're still gonna be making a game for Microsoft. So
Well,
hopefully we get like that Banjo game or something, or we get a Crash game or. Something
oh,
cool for them,
dude,
but
that would make the most sense. Or even
yeah.
if it's something along the lines of that, or oh gosh, or yeah, even like say Banjo-Kazooie or like Crash or Spyro or whatever the hell, that still would be a lot better than them being absorbed into fucking
Yeah.
Activision Blizzard or Microsoft.
Yeah. But it's just, it's crazy. It's like, hey, we still want to make a game for us, but we're gonna let you go indie. It's like, maybe like just. Keep them and have them make a game for you. It's weird.
I know, I
It's
know.
like we have all this IP that like they would be the best people to make a game for, and like we're just gonna let them go. And also, Rockstar Games announced told all their employees this week that they had, I believe, at the end of the month they'll have to go full time back to the office after 2 years ago telling them they can all be work from home. So a lot of people are pretty pissed. Basically, it sounds like what they're doing here is like. Instead of doing official layoffs, they know a lot of people like they've hired a bunch of people that don't even live in the state. So those people are basically gonna have to quit their jobs so they can. Basically, this is their way of cutting staff without actually having to announce layoffs. So it's kind of a really fucked up, shitty thing that a
It
lot of
is
companies do
messed
this,
up, yeah.
especially when you told everybody 2 years ago you can full time work from home. They're like, yeah, just kidding. Oh, you moved, or oh, we hired you and you live 3 states away. Yeah, well, we changed our mind. So go fuck yourself, basically. So that's basically what they're saying. So fuck Rockstar Games on that one. But yeah, that's pretty much all the other news for this week. But Gables, let's jump into what we've been playing. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first, buddy?
Tyler, why don't you go first this time?
Okay. Oh, baby. All right. I've been playing one game only. We all know what it is. Mm-hmm. It's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It is time. I am I'm 14 hours into this game. If you include the demo I played earlier this, or I guess now last month, it's March now. I'm like about 16 hours in. I am on chapter 4. I don't know how many chapters there are, but this game is pretty big, Gables. This game is going to take me like probably like a month or so to beat.
probably.
Well, I know like a buddy of ours, Mike, or Oladouche, as he calls himself, he's already like on chapter 8. And he's played about the same amount of time I have, I'm on chapter 4, but I even started the first mission of chapter 4. I've just been walking, like wandering around like the world and doing all the side activities. So it's kind of cool. So like you start off in like Calm, the first town that you go to after you finish Midgard, and like you do like I did the Nibelheim flashback during the demo. So like once you leave that town, you go to like the open area, the first open area. It's called the Grasslands, and I spent 6-7 hours in there doing all the side activities. There's like some of the side activities are kind of whatever, but man, like I'm having some fun with some of these Gables. They have a card game called Queen's Blood. I'm gonna need like a like I was talking about I'd pay like $30-$40 for like a Pokemon trading card game. I'd probably pay like $20-$30 for a fucking Queen's Blood game because it's so good. It's a lot of fun. I was hearing people talking about it. It's like it's really good. I'm like, oh, whatever. Like I usually just don't even bother with these. I'm doing all of them. I'm fine. Everybody I find, I'm fucking playing them. The game is a ton of fun. They have Fort Condor is in this as well. It's like their board game that they have, and it was in the intermission, the DLC for Remake, in there. And I was like, whatever, it's fine. And I'm loving the shit out of that in this one. But yeah, so I'm like I said, about 16 hours in. I'm just loving this game. It's so great. It's so great to be back in, especially like I'm enjoying it. I think more now after playing the OG remake or the OG Final Fantasy VII. Played that 2 years ago, I believe. And like, I'm enjoying it so much more now knowing, like, I understand like what they're hinting at. Like when they mentioned like Junon and they mentioned all these other towns and shit, like Cosmo Canyon and Golden Saucer. When they mentioned these places, I understand. I get all giddy about it. I'm like, oh, they said the thing. I'm having so much fun going back into this. But yeah, the combat, like they haven't really done too much to the combat. I would say like, it's still like, it was like just putting on like a comfortable pair of shoes. It's just like you just put them back, you know, like going from Remake, going to this, like they definitely made it better. They did like there's like the synergy moves you can do where like you can like build up synergy with your teammates and you can do like crazy, like almost kind of like ultra moves and shit you can do. For the most part though, it's kind of still the same. And I like that because I thought that gameplay was awesome and it feels so great just like bouncing between characters. And it took a little bit of time to get like kind of used to it again, like how it was kind of hectic at first, but then like once I got used to like, once again, like they have a lot of the same abilities, all like a lot of the materia and stuff like that, a lot of the same. So I like that because like it's not broken. Don't fuck with it, you know. Don't fix it. So I'm enjoying that. I'm liking just wandering around the world and interacting with the people. Except doing the Queen's Blood. Some of the content like in there, like you deal with Chadley, who's my boy. A lot of people out there disgracing the name of Chadley on the internet, and I won't stand for it. Because I love Chadley, he's the man, and he's a good boy. Even though he's a robot, I still love him. He's a good guy, and but even though the knee high socks though, gotta go. That's fucking creepy. I don't like that. but like just going around, like he gives you all these missions to do, and like you have like the little bar you fill up to like basically like it tells you like you've 100% of that area. And man, what's great is like once you do all these things, every single one now is a fast travel point. So it's just so great to like I can just quickly move around the map. Like, cause like most games you play, like there's like six in the whole thing. But like, it's kind of like almost like the shrines and like, Tears of the Kingdom, Breath of the Wild. Like once you beat it, it's not a fast travel point. That's fucking awesome. Like, so there's like so many fast travel points in this area. So you can totally get where you want to go a lot faster. I love that. You get to ride it on a chocobo, which those little fuckers are so adorable. Mm-hmm. But man, I'm fighting everybody I see, like running around. Like normally I don't even deal with like the fast travel, like, or like with the, you can hop in a car, you can ride a bike to go somewhere. Like I just still walk, and I just love water. Like chocobos are so much fun to run around with. So yeah, I'm having a great goddamn time with it. I haven't done very much of the story stuff. I do kind of like so far where the layout is, where it's almost like, so like so far chapter one is like kind of like reminiscent more of like Remake. Like Remake was like, it's a very like Midgard was like the really compacted Midgard. You got like, I beat the, you can, I did all the story side missions and everything like that. You could beat the game in like 40 hours, but like you would have like these long stretches of like, it's just, you're going straight through. Like it, you're kind of like on rails kind of in a way, or like you're going through the mission. You're going through the story they're telling you. And then like, there'd be a couple points. There's like, I think 2 points in the game, maybe three, where you can like, they give you all these side missions. You can wander around this section. They're kind of doing that, but like kind of blowing it out a little bit. Like chapter one was like, here's the story. Here's all the story stuff. You're going through the mission. It's on rails. You're going through it, but it's a great fucking time. There's some great boss fights. Chapter two is like, hey, here's the grasslands. Have fun and go explore. And then chapter three was in the Mithril Mines, I believe is what, I can't remember.
Mithril Mines. Okay.
Yeah. So that's chapter three. And that's just back to like, hey, you're going through, you know, it's more on rails and you're going through the story that we're telling you and stuff like that. There's a fuzzy in front of me. It's driving me nuts. And I love that because it's reminiscent of Remake, when that's one of my favorite games of all time. And then that chapter four here is Junon, like, but I haven't even gone to the town yet. And then that's right back to, it's open world again. Didn't seem as big. I'm hoping they're not all huge. Like, I'm hoping some get a little smaller, because I don't know how many chapters are. I don't know how many open areas are. I know there's like at least four, I think possibly five.
Well, you know, there's at least eight chapters so far.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's less chapters than the. I did hear there's less chapters than the first game. I think there was 17 or 19 in the first game. But I don't know. I've heard some people talking like they put like 100 hours in this game doing everything. I don't think I'm going to be the person that's going to do like everything, but at least want to do all the side con, like the side quests, stuff like that. And so I'm going to do that. So, but I'm probably going to put like 70, 80 hours in this fucking game, people. So I'm having so much fun with it. This game is so fucking good. It's everything I want it to be. When I booted that game for the first time, like the menu music came on. I was just like, my eyes welled up. I was so fucking happy. I was like, oh, I've been waiting so long. It's been 4 years. I've been waiting so long for this. And I just couldn't, like, I remember like just pressing play for the first time and seeing a brand new cutscene. I'm just like, I never thought I would see this again. I don't even know I knew it was coming. It's just like, I was just so excited and so surprised. I'm like, oh my God, it's more fucking Final Fantasy VII. 5 years ago, that Tyler would have like kicked me in the nuts for saying that. Now here I am, like, this is like one of the coolest games ever made. I'm really happy, really pumped. I'm gonna play this. Probably prepare for me to talk about a lot. I won't spoil too much, but man, I'm, like I said, I've done very little of the story content, but I'm really happy with it. And I just gotta say, Gables, the music in this fucking thing. I think Final Fantasy VII Remake was some of my favorite music of all time. I still listen to the lo-fi hip hop Final Fantasy VII Remake YouTube playlist to this day. I cannot wait until we get a lo-fi hip-hop remix of Rebirth, because it's gonna fucking slap, because the music in this game is even fucking better and there's so much more. It's great. Yeah, so yeah, Rebirth, 10 out of 10 so far. Gables, what about you,
boys? Yes. All right, to start off with, I did have a chance to play Arzette, the Jewel of Faramore. This code was provided to us by
Limited Run Games.
Limited Run Games. Okay, so Limited Run Games. Yes, we actually received a code for this game, and I humbly said I would go through and start playing this game, which I'm about 20% through this game so far. And quite honestly, this game is more like a action sort of styled game, like similar to that of, like, say, like just an action platformer game that's similar to, like, say, Legend of Zelda. This game is definitely heavily influenced by the old Philips CDI games and stuff, or like, say, the CDI Zelda games and like the CDI, like, say, Mario games, the Mario game as well. As a matter of fact, like, the whole game developer for this game and stuff, it's CDI Games.
Yeah.
It's just a giant seed or something like that with an I of it, and it's like just play of puns and stuff.
I believe this is like some of the people that originally worked on it too. And then they have like some of the voice actors come back for this.
You know, I honestly, after playing a bit of it, like I have, I would not doubt that at all, because a lot of the same graphical stuff not just a lot of the graphical stuff, but just a lot of the character animation stuff, or some of those like weirdly out of like sort like cutscenes and stuff. Some of the actors that are speaking, doing speaking roles and stuff, they really do feel reminiscent of those cutscenes from like Wanagamelon and like the Seeds of Evil and stuff like that, and like Hotel Mario and all this stuff.
Jesus,
It was
yeah.
actually fairly awesome to see, like, kind of like a spin-off, kind of like a spoof thing from the like those era of games, because when we were growing up and stuff, we only heard about the CDI. We didn't even see these type of like games and stuff for the Philips CDI like back then, until YouTube started becoming more predominant. We're just seeing these freaking footages of like the Mario CDI game and the Zelda CDI games, and just seeing, just having a bunch of fun, just poking fun at how bad those ones were. But with RZ though, it doesn't feel like a bad game at all, honestly. It feels like a good base for like a potential like series, I feel, because it's like this is a good starting game in terms of like the beginning of like some like maybe a sequel or something. It kind of feels like it at first glance and stuff. The gameplay itself isn't that bad.
I sorry, I had to send this
What?
to you. They made a controller for this game.
They made a controller for this game. Okay,
Yeah.
well, before I speak anything more, I want. Oh, you have got to be kidding me. Okay. So I gotta say, Limited Run has gone above and beyond, and they made their own version of a Philips CDI controller to plug into your Switch and also for the PC. I mean, bravo. I mean, come on. I mean, I think that's pretty
10
hilarious
out
in
of
and of
10.
itself, dude. I mean,
Yeah.
if you really want to get the authentic experience of like the Philips CDI, there you go. Oh my gosh. Oh God. I'm gonna close that one out,
I sorry, I said
obviously.
I just sent that to you because that was I'm like I just remember that thing existed, so.
Oh my God, I don't think I can get over that. But for RZ, I feel like the gameplay is pretty good. I mean, it's not like, say, horrible. The controls still feel pretty fluid. I didn't really have a lot of difficulties with that. There's some little things like with hitbox stuff, or like with characters where they're doing their projectiles and stuff. Like it will like feel like you'll jump over a projectile, but you just like hit like the corner of like edge of the character sprite or something. You still suffer a bit of damage and stuff. Let's see. Currently, I still have like about 3 hearts of health. I've got a couple different types of magic stuff, which how magic works in this game, it's more like you press the circle button. And it's supposed to eliminate like specific blocks that are like a different color. Like you have like red magic or something to start when you first get it, then you acquire blue magic, then like green or pink or whatever. It's relatively straightforward to understand, but there are also enemies and stuff that will be color coded to where you have to switch between the different types in order to used upon them and just to break their shield, so that way you can do it that way. There's also a lot of fetch quest stuff inside of this game. So when you go and you start off initially and stuff, the game will go through its story about like how this kingdom was like in peace for all these years and stuff, but all of a sudden it's like they have to go and try to like defeat this guy by the name of Daimar, right? That's the big old evil like wizard or something like that that comes through and like just like wrecks a lot of their shit. Like they beat Daimar like 10 years prior to the game setting and like the beginning and stuff like that. And so I thought it was really hilarious about this. It's like even inside the cutscenes, it's like the showcase, okay, RZ's the one that went through and did all this stuff that her male like counterpart or companion or something like that is basically there just to be there, you know, just kind of like the whole stereotype like what like Link was just basically just like a fucking log or something like that in terms of being inside the Zelda long like Wanagamelon and stuff like that, where he basically just did nothing. He was just captured the whole entire time of that game. But no, what's really hilarious is like there's certain cutscenes or something like that where like certain characters will be talking and that Link inspired character is there and stuff like that, and such is like, I'm glad you're here, and that's about the extent of what they go through and say to him and stuff. They recognize Arzetsa's mage, your like heroine or something like that, that's gonna bring peace and do this and do that. But they just look at us like, yeah, you're just a set piece. I really love that. I really do, because that's just like not taking yourself so seriously. And that's kind of like what I appreciate, you know? It's like, this platformer may not be like, say, like on the higher echelon of, say, a platformer games, but this is a fun, enjoyable experience to me because it doesn't take itself too seriously. The platforming is fine. The enemy selection stuff, the different types of levels and stuff, yeah, they're fine in and of itself. Let's see. I have had to face a couple different boss battles. There's this boss battle against this horse, right? This horseman type of character. And let me tell you something, dude. It's like, it starts out, it's like, I'm just gonna say a little bit about it and stuff. There's these vines you have to climb up and do this and do that. But the cutscene that leads into it, I think it's really hilarious, is because you'll encounter this horse creature and stuff, and the horseman starts talking in sort of like elements of like a horse, right? Like it's like neigh and this and that, and just Arsa just keeps laughing at him because he keeps doing these horse antics and stuff, just making her laugh, and subsequently makes the dude just give her get more pissed and stuff at her as he's doing it. Oh, but there was the last boss battle I played was against this scarecrow, and let me tell you something, this scarecrow. Like he wants to be like a minion or something, like of Derwin's like evil army and stuff like that. And one thing I forgot to do in this boss battle that kind of like would have saved me a lot of time, I have a shield. I had to press L1 in order to block certain projectiles because I picked up a power up that actually helps me predict projectiles. And what did I did not use for the span of like 10 minutes? Oh, hey, maybe I could just avoid the projectiles and jump around different ways and something like that. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh God, I could have just pressed L1 and saved myself like about 5 minutes of frustration. So I can admit that's user error on my part, and I would have made the game that would have made that section a little bit easier for me to like process through. But other than that, I do like the random elements of characters. There's this wolf, and this wolf you meet like in the middle of the forest and stuff like that. He wants to have like a particular like a property or something in the main kingdom or something like that, but the mayor of the kingdom or something like that won't allow him to do that. And what's even more hilarious is like when you speak with the wolf, he starts contorting a little bit and his eyes start like glowing like these red and like yellow swirls or something, like he's like crazed or some shit. And what do you do to get like his property or something? You just basically threaten the mayor or something like that. He's just okay, you can do that. But that's just an element of what this game has, really. Like I was stating before, I'm 20% through this game's playthrough. There are a bunch of different places where you can like explore, and then subsequently there are collectibles that make you want to re-explore. Like it's one of those games where you have to go back to levels and use different types of power-ups or different types of things, so there definitely is replayability when it comes to that and stuff. But this game is $20. I understand that it may not be a lot of people's cup of tea, the look of it, the appeal of it, but if you like retro platformers and you do have like that sort of sense of humor, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know what? This may be a game for you to want to go through and try out. Maybe if it gets onto a sale or if it's some of that sort, just keep in the back of your mind though. But personally, I've been having quite a bit of fun with it, and I will definitely speak more about it once I play some bit more, because I know that I've not even scratched about half of this game and I'm still having elements that I am enjoying. But with Arzette out of the way, I do want to say a little bit about Splatoon 3 Side Order. I did play more of this roguelike Splatoon game. And let me tell you something. I think I've kind of invested in sort of like my whole stats and stuff a bit kind of wonky in regards to me doing it, because I've been leveling up my character, right? I've been going through these different runs, getting all these mem bucks and stuff to invest inside these hacks in order to make my character and my bot better. I used a lot of those points in order to do damage reduction for my character in general. And the funny part about that is, towards the end of my play yesterday, I think I spent like about 2 or 3 hours in total. I forgot that I can actually increase the strength of my attack. And so here I am literally like about, I have like about three bars filled up for my damage reduction. And don't get me wrong, it's helped me progress far inside of that whole like echelon, the run, the tower run stuff. I think my, at best, I've went to like the 15th floor of this game so far. I've encountered like two or three different sets of bosses. I've beaten two out of the three, like bosses and stuff. But it is still fun going through a lot of the different levels on repeat. You'll encounter a lot of the same levels over and over again, but you'll get through it quicker, or you'll find different ways in order to progress through. But yeah, this game really cranks up a bit of like the randomness to it, because sometimes if you go higher inside the chain, sometimes it'll introduce like a level or something that's hard, but it has like a little exclamation point of it, right? To where if you do pick this one, there will be like an add-on like condition to it, right? It'll make the game, it'll make that level even harder. But if you skip it, it will introduce more and more of those type of stages when you progressively get higher and higher. So if you, so it forces you, hey, if you could tackle this game, if you could tackle this level and clear it despite having extra conditions or just like complete it, then that's done for now, and you don't have to face off on that type of condition until maybe like a future couple levels or whatever the heck. But oh yeah, there were definitely some bit of frustrations because there were a couple runs where I would get fairly deep, and all of a sudden, like I literally died like once or tw like at least the next level over, and I was just like right below, like say the 16th or the 17th floor, or right close to another boss battle that I could have just went into. But it definitely has that one more game mentality to it, to where even though I kept dying over and over and over again, collecting these mem bucks, spending on different mods for my ink, for my Octoling here, increasing certain aspect of stats and stuff from my Octoling, and also for like for Pearl Drone and stuff like that, for her set of stats that she's got, it definitely has made the mode more easier to grasp and to understand. The only thing I need to do is increase my strength in terms of attack strength, and also for my armor stuff, because I've barely invested anything besides damage reduction and like maybe like one thing of continue and this and that. So I haven't even explored different possibilities of filling out the stats yet of my Octoling. But from what I have played, it is enjoyable. It can be frustrating if you don't know what you're doing. But it definitely is something I want to keep continuing on with. But the last thing I want to talk about, and it's going to be a brief thing, I've played a couple hours of the original Final Fantasy VII on PlayStation 4. I have it on 3x speed. I have it to where, and what's awesome about this version is you can increase the speed to 3x. You can click the buttons for like the whole like skipping like random encounters and stuff, which I understand. The only reason why I have encounters now is if I want to grind specific parts and stuff against certain enemies near a save point, then turn off the random encounters, go through that. I want to enjoy Final Fantasy VII originally before I delve into the remake and also Rebirth. The major reason why I didn't buy Rebirth and instead invested in sort of a couple Dreamcast games I've been looking at for years and I'm wanting to add them to my collection is because I want to enjoy Final Fantasy VII. I've had Final Fantasy VII in my possession since like 2006. I need to beat this damn game now. But my party right now with Cloud, Tifa, and Barret, it's like around level 14, level 15. And that's before I meet Aerith to put in my party. So I'm in a good
Oh,
spot.
yeah.
I definitely have learned a couple different type of limit attacks, and like the Octo Slash and stuff, and like stuff like that for like Cloud and stuff. And I got the Gatling gun sort of like limited thing with Barret and stuff. But I'm still in the early goings. So I still have a bunch of things I want to go and do, but I'm chipping away at it, but I still want to play more of that game as well.
Good
But
game.
other than that, that's all I've been playing.
All right. Well, I think that'll wrap it up for this week. If you guys enjoy all this, please, like I said, top of the show, like, follow, subscribe, check us out. We're on everything: YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anything podcast service. We're on it. Just go there, 5-star reviews. Tell your friends. Go back, download all the podcasts. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on all the places. Like I said, description down below. There are links to everything. Thanks. Tell your friends, all that fun stuff. But I was host. I was Tyler.
I've been Colonel Gables. Until next time, everyone, pick some video games, play them through, play something you enjoy, but most importantly, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds podcast.
Hey, Gables.
Yeah.
You want to go kill some Dodongos?
My boy.
Bye, guys.
See ya.